SF Signal episode 37, which three female authors had the same impact on science fiction as the big three, known as Asimov, Clark, and Heinlein. This is the SF Signal podcast, as powered by the Functional Nerds. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And tonight, I've assembled more people from SF Signal. Let's go down the list. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt. This is Matthew Sanborn Smith. I do a little writing. I've got a story at tor.com. It would be wonderful if everyone ran off and read that after the show, not before. And also, I've got a big blowout on Beware the Hairy Mango in the month of May, 31 episodes in 31 days. It's called Mucho Mango Mayo.
That's going to be awesome. Hey, welcome back, Karen.
Hi, my name's Karen Burnham. I blog at Spiral Galaxy Reviews. I'm also the editor at the Locus Roundtable blog, where we've been posting some perspectives from people who teach SF, and there will be new podcasts recorded live at the International Conference of the Fantastic and the Arts, which is where I was last week.
Awesome. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how you doing? This is Derek Johnson. I write reviews for Revolution SF, SF Signal. I have a film column called Watching the Future over at SF Site.
And let's say hello to Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. This is Lisa Pate Spindler. I'm a blogger and a writer, and you can find me at lisapatespindler.com.
When's your book coming out?
March 28th, Monday.
Woohoo!
Woo!
There was much rejoicing.
Yeah, it was kind of difficult for that book to get published because it had to take a spiral path.
It did. Right through a wormhole.
Hi, John.
How you doing? John DiNardo here, resident blogger at SF Signal.
And tonight I've got a question for you guys. Asimov, Heinlein, and Clark are considered to be the big three of science fiction writers, but who are their female counterparts? Which three female authors of the last 100 years have had the same impact on sci-fi as the big three guys? Let's start with Lisa.
Andre Norton, James Tiptree, and Ursula Le Guin.
Okay, why?
Why? It's just that... because they've made such great contributions, even if they're not someone's particular personal favorites, I think you can't get away from the impact that they've had on the genre.
Give us an example.
Well, the one I've read the most of is Ursula Le Guin, and I personally really enjoyed The Dispossessed, and that novel really stuck with me for a long, long time after I read it.
Okay. Derek?
Well, I didn't think about 100 years. I actually was thinking quite a bit longer, and in that case, it would have included Mary Shelley. Having said that, I have to go with Le Guin again. I think she is really sort of the standard for not only for SF, she was probably one of the major writers through the 60s and 70s, and even today, you can't avoid her influence. Additionally, I would go with James Tiptree Jr. Her short stories are still compelling. They're still powerful. They still pack quite a punch. Quite frankly, they are also, in a lot of ways, blood-curdling, much more so than any of the big three. Pardon me. And if I'm going to go with a third, I would actually have to go with Connie Willis, who is very bright. Her work is actually reads very breezily. Having said that, once again, it can be very blood-curdling. It can be very mean.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Another fan of short fiction would be Karen. Karen, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I had almost the same list as Lisa. Andre Norton, for all the children's books that she wrote, I think is about as many authors grew up reading Andre Norton's work as started out on Heinlein juveniles. I think it probably influenced so many authors to get into the genre. Ursula Le Guin, of course, just completely opened up, you know, so many fields of inquiry, really, to SF, you know, with things like Left Hand of Darkness. The only place I'd differ would be I'd go with Joanna.
Oops, sorry. What was that?
Joanna Russ, the female man. Oh man, you wouldn't like Derek had mentioned. Chilling, just absolutely bone chilling. There are parts of the female man that when you read it today, you're like, oh, ouch. That's still true. Some parts have aged, but she is insanely intense. So yeah, those would be my three to start out with, although there are some others I could mention.
Lisa, who was your third one again? You had Le Guin, Norton, and...
Tiptree.
You did have Tiptree. Okay. Matt, what are yours?
I was all over the place with this one. The first thing that popped in my head was my favorites, and then I said, no, I can't go with that. And then I tried to look for somebody who was big during the 40s, so like the big three guys that you mentioned, and that didn't really work for me. And I figured what we want to look at is women who had as big an impact on the field as Heinlein, Asimov, and Clark.
Yes.
Most of mine have already been chosen by everybody else.
Could I interrupt for a sec? I do want to give a shout out to the two women who really came out of the 40s, and that's Lee Brackett and C.L. Moore. I agree. They didn't have the as much impact as your Heinlein and Asimov, but they were pretty awesome.
And along those lines, since we were talking about length of time, how the same time period as the other big three that we talked about, that's why I didn't mention Catherine Ossaro, Octavia Butler, and Lois McMaster Bujold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are some of my personal favorites, but I was going for some authors that weren't quite as recent and had a longer period of time to have a bigger impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what else were you going to say?
I love Butler, too, by the way. I was going to say Andre Norton, just because I think her juveniles were as important as Heinlein's juveniles as far as getting people into the field and getting people excited about it as they matured. Ursula K. Le Guin, and since Joanna Russ has already been mentioned, I'd probably say Kate Wilhelm, although, you know, Tiptree's fantastic also. I think that all of these women as a group changed the field, definitely. Andre Norton in a different way. Andre Norton got people into it, got people excited about it, but people like Le Guin and Ross and Wilhelm and Tiptree, they altered the way science fiction was being written. I think they matured the field a lot.
So expand on that a little bit. I mean, how do you think that they...
Well, I think that... I think that they made science fiction less zany, okay? Because the new wave came along and it was kind of crazy. There was definitely a leap in the level of writing, but it was like the literary equivalent of psychedelic mushrooms. But these women, I believe, sort of made the genre grow up. You're hot for examples. I'll say Le Guin's Left Hand of Darkness, Joanna Russ. You know what? I haven't read The Female Man, and I need to. But the short story that went along with that, and I forgot the damn name. We were just talking about it on
When It Changed.
Thank you. When It Changed. Yeah, that was an important work in the field. And Kate Wilhelm, what is it? Where
Late the Sweet Bird Sang.
Yes, thank you. I'm so prepared for this show.
Everybody else.
All of these works really bring a level of adulthood to the field that hadn't been seen before, or at least not as prominently. And I think that once people got on board and read these things, then they said, wow, maybe we should straighten up.
Well, the other thing is that Le Guin really started to bring academic interest into science fiction in a way that you really didn't see before. Before then, you may have had writers who were very good, but even when, you know, Kingsley Amis wrote his criticism of SF, what was it, New Maps of Hell. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, even then, it was still just seen with a dismissive eye. And then you had somebody like Le Guin, who had a great understanding of character, great understanding of setting. She wrote beautifully. And all of a sudden, academics really started to pay attention.
Well, you know, I think that was because she was coming to the field from the social sciences as opposed to the engineers like Heinlein and Clark.
Right.
Didn't she also edit the, what is it, the Norton Anthology to Science Fiction, this huge, massive textbook
of
science fiction stories,
which is, you know, which is just wow. You know, you look at the table of contents and you go, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely become canonical.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is I mean, was that used? I'm assuming that was used in colleges at some point.
Yeah, although that happened a little after her impact started. I think the Norton Anthology came out in the mid '90s.
Early '90s. I want to say '91 or '92.
Yeah. So she'd already established her presence in the field before that anthology came out. But yeah, that was an incredibly important work as well.
So you guys all seem to be agreeing on the same group of authors, essentially. So luckily I've got John DiNardo here to bring up three completely different names that no one's mentioned.
Yeah, you want to hear something funny? Is I remembered this question incorrectly. For some reason, I was remembering the question from when you first posed it all week writers of today, like current writers. So my list was Le Guin, Connie Willis, and Nancy Kress.
Hmm.
I think all of them are literate and accessible, and I think that has impact with readers not just inside the genre but also outside from bringing people into the genre from outside. And so that was my list, but. Given the 100-year criteria, I'd probably name much the same folks: Norton, Moore, Tiptree, and all those folks.
I'm kind of shocked that no one has brought to light, you know, Diane Duane and DC Fontana's bringing us Romulans and Vulcans.
Well, the cover was hot. I remember nothing. That.
That got me nothing.
Well, you know, I guess if these women truly did have the impact that those guys had, then we should all agree on them.
Well, and it seems like you guys are.
Although, you know, fundamentally, I think there's a little bit of an elephant in the room when we say, you know, the same impact as Heinlein, Clark, and Asimov. Well, of course not. I mean, you can walk into Barnes & Noble today. There's a whole shelf of Asimov. There's at least a whole shelf of Heinlein, probably half to three quarters of a shelf worth of Clark, and a couple copies of Joanna Russ.
If that.
I haven't seen any Joanna Russ. I've worked in bookstores for years, and I haven't seen any. But that's
an interesting question. Which female authors often get reprinted?
Well, Andre Norton, man, in used bookstores especially, Andre Norton is still, you can tell people are still reading her stuff. You don't have any trouble finding that.
Used, though, but I mean, that's, you know, I mean, like...
Well, no, but I mean, half-price books.
What authors are publishers spending money on to reprint?
To reprint? Hmm.
Well, you know, the female man is actually being reprinted by Blue Streak Books, which is also reprinting Octavia Butler's Kindred. When they're approaching these, they're actually approaching these as literary, almost as literary fiction, quite frankly.
Karen, go.
Have you seen the Ian Sales meme that's SF Mistress Works? He was actually complaining a little bit that Gallants puts out this Masterworks series, and it was really male-heavy. And so he put together a Mistress Works list, and people have been, you know, passing that around as a meme. Definitely worth taking a look. There's just a lot of good stuff on it.
Lisa, you've been quiet too long.
Oh, just that I think I've seen a lot of Octavia Butler on the shelves. We were just talking about who's being reprinted. I honestly have never seen Joanna Russ on the shelves in a big box store.
So my question would then be, you know, who has the rights to those books, and why aren't they publishing them like mad as ebooks?
Oh.
But what you were saying, Karen, is that the works of these women aren't represented too well on the shelf, and I agree with you completely. But I think that speaks to their popularity rather than their influence. I think their influence is incredible as far as the literary level to which they raised the entire field, and I think in that respect they are as influential, if not more influential, than the guys.
I would agree with that.
I'd agree with that too. Although, you know, it's interesting. I almost added Joanna Russ to my list, but she tends to be very challenging for some. And she also, and I think for a lot of male fans, she tends to be too confrontational. I mean, The Female Man is a brilliant book, and it's going to make it makes a lot of people uncomfortable trying to read that.
Lisa, Karen, thoughts?
I don't think right now people are. I'm sorry, Karen. I don't think a lot of people right now are looking for books that make them uncomfortable, and I think that definitely influences what we see on the shelves.
Karen.
No, The Female Man made me uncomfortable, I won't lie, but it was still brilliant.
I can't wait to read that damn book.
So, I mean, again, it looks like, you know, we're running down the list here. You know, Ursula K. Le Guin, Andre Norton, James Tiptree, Connie Willis, Joanna Russ. Who else do we have here? C.C. Moore, Lee. I can't even read my own handwriting at this point. Lee
Brackett.
Brackett.
Lee Brackett.
Did you mention
Butler? Tiptree? Butler Wilhelm. I mentioned Tiptree. So, okay. Who is there? Anybody I'm forgetting?
Karen Joy Fowler.
Okay.
Sarah Canary really is one of the most brilliant books that came out of the '90s. Having said that, I don't think Fowler's written any SF since then, or at least nothing in long form.
Right, possibly not long form. She's put out some brilliant short stories that have won awards.
And no one's mentioned C.J. Cherry either.
I was wondering about that. Yeah, I've actually got Foreigner sitting here on my desk, and I was staring at it going,
And to be fair, I've never read C.J. Cherry, you know, but everybody I talk to tells me I'd like her, so...
I have read, first I read the Fortress books, which are fantasy, and then I read this Foreigner one, which is kind of funny. The story behind this book is I took it with me to World Fantasy. I had it sitting on the nightstand next to the bed. John DiNardo shows up, and he's like, oh, is that mine? Where did you get that? Did I bring that? No.
Yeah, I'm toying with the idea of starting either, you know, Cherry's Foreigner series, and I got Tanya Huff's... Valor series, Confederation of Valor, whatever those books are. That whole thing I'm toying with starting as well.
Well, I liked Foreigner. And you know me, I have some issues reading science fiction sometimes.
Well, and I've also enjoyed Elizabeth Moon and C.S. Friedman from some of the more contemporary folks.
All right, if we're going to get...
The C.S. Friedman, again, I had the problem with those one books that I read.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I've never been able to get into Sherry, so fair.
Okay.
Okay, if we're going down this road, I just want to mention...
You got 2 minutes.
And this woman is... I'm just going to say Julian May. And she is more of a modern Andre Norton, to be honest. She's in, you know, I mean, it's adventure and... very cinematic, wild, crazy, fun stuff. But okay. She's just a fantastic writer.
So real quick, Twitter style. Of your three authors that you've picked, pick your favorite book from one of them. I'm going to go down the list here, okay? I'm going to put you all on the spot. Derek.
Her Smoke Was Rose Up Forever by James Tiptree.
Karen.
Female Man by Joanna Russ.
Lisa.
The Dispossessed by Ursula Le Guin.
Matt.
I don't know if I mentioned Butler, but Wild Seed by Octavia Butler.
Mr. John DiNardo.
Beggars in Spain by Nancy Kress.
There you go. We also have a voicemail from a new voice to the podcast and to sfsignal.com. Jamie Todd Rubin wanted to weigh in on this subject. Take it away, Jamie.
Hi, this is Jamie Todd Rubin. I'm a science fiction writer and blogger. My most recent story is coming out, actually should be out now, in the June issue of Analog, and I write about my vacation in the Golden Age on jamietoddrubin.com. I was intrigued by the question this week, which three female authors of the last 100 years have had the same impact on science fiction as the big three being Isaac Asimov, Robert Heinlein, Arthur C. Clarke. And it made me think about something that Isaac Asimov wrote about the big three in his third volume of his memoir, I Asimov. What he wrote was, I have always thought that the constant harping on the big three was, in a way, a self-fulfilling phenomenon. We were the big three because we were successful, but how much of our continuing success arose from the fact that we referred to day in and day out as the big three? That, to me, implies that the big three is really about popularity and success, not necessarily about how good or how artistic or what sort of, you know, cultural impact a writer has had, but it doesn't certainly doesn't exclude that. And so if you look at female author science fiction writers over the last 100 years, the two that immediately came to mind, both of whom were are popular, excellent writers, Ursula K. Le Guin, of course, Left Hand of Darkness, Dispossessed, also Connie Willis more recently, Doomsday Book, and her just outstanding Blackout and All Clear, most recent book, and it's set in the same universe, not to mention her short fiction. I had a tough time with a third one. I kind of wanted to say C.L. Moore, who's Greater Than Gods in the July 1939 Astounding, just really, really impressed me. Of course, she also wrote in conjunction with her husband, Henry Kuttner. But I don't know if I think back then she was really, really popular. I don't know if today her name rings quite as true with some of the younger, newer fans. So the next obvious one that came to mind was Anne McCaffrey, who, of course, won the Grandmaster Award for science fiction back in 2005. And she seems like would be a really good candidate to fit in the list with Le Guin and Connie Willis. As a sort of a side note, if you were to ask the same question about editors in science fiction, obviously Campbell was the big editor back in the day, but I think female editor for science fiction has to be Judy Lynn Del Rey, as having a big impact there, and her name came to mind immediately when I was thinking about this question as well. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Jamie, and thanks to everybody else who came on the podcast this week and answered another one of my questions. I appreciate it. Now it's your chance to be a part of all of this. You can give us a call on the voicemail line, 720-277-9082. If you don't want to make the phone call, all you have to do is go to sfsignal.com, click on one of the podcast posts like this one, and there's a little flash widget there from Google. Plug your number in, Google will call you, and then you have 3 minutes to tell us what you think. And if you enjoyed this podcast, there's a couple things you can do to help us out. Number one, you can go to iTunes and give us a couple stars, or you can write us a review. That helps us by boosting our exposure on iTunes and then gets us more listeners. You can also help us get more listeners simply by telling people that you enjoy this podcast. You know, link to us from your blogs or your websites, you know, retweet us on Twitter. All that stuff helps, and we do appreciate that. Later on this week, we have an interview with Tim Pratt, so that should be good. That was a fun conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. Until then, I will see you on Twitter, twitter.com/ATFMB, twitter.com/SFSignal, but that's John D. Bye.